makes sense to me that there could be huge hits to the capital base of some of these banks if they continue with this insane policies. Which, if it comes out that it's fraud, which I think it will, you know, and Pfizer goes, you know, gets sued into oblivion, people are going to go after their employers, saying they should have known it was experimental. How dare you? Because that's, you know, public sentiment will shift, and people will say, of course you should have known, right? This is an experimental vaccine. It's not a vetted vaccine. And mandates in and of themselves are ridiculous. We know that from the civil rights, constitutional issue. But the fact that these morons are doing this is, I don't understand it. I mean, you get the potential liability from that.
Well, we see Jamie Dimon the other day saying, "Oh yeah, if you want to come back to work, first of all, he said if you want to keep working at J.P. Morgan, you got to come back into the office, and if you want to come back into the office, you have to be vaccinated." I'm sitting here thinking, this is gonna. I'm with you. At some point, it has to blow up. I mean, a lot of these guys have been kicking ass for these banks. They have pretty good war chests if they need to go to war and hire an attorney. If the attorney is even going to require that they put money up, I mean, a smart attorney gets enough of these folks on Wall Street, and they're just saying, well, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll just take 40%, 33%, 35% cut, whatever. You don't have to put any money into it. I'll take care of it. We'll get this thing rolling. It has to. Now, I've seen this as a potential move for a long time, but unless guys like Dimon know that they're going to be backstopped by the government, they don't care, you know, which is, I mean, you look at subprime, right? I was at Citi when that happened.
Yeah.
And I remember, it was like, I've talked about it. It's the craziest thing. And our kids were in school, and I came home and I said to my wife, I don't know. I don't think we're going to make it. I think they're going to whack us all. So, and then the next day she called me at my desk, and I had a little office, and I was in there, and I was saying, I don't know, man, this is complete chaos here. And one of the old timers heard me, and he came in afterwards, and it was literally out of the scene of Wall Street when Hal Holbrook talks to Bud Fox. And he goes to me, I heard you on the phone. Was that your wife? I said, yeah. He goes, son, you work for Citigroup. We're not going anywhere, and you're not going anywhere. It'll all be smoothed over. We're part of the government, son. Relax. You're going to be fine. I said, oh, okay, cool. And they were. I mean, they got, what, $40 billion, $45 billion a couple days later. Bailed out 100 cents on the dollar. I said, damn, this dude was right.
So, yep.
I mean, you know, unless they're going to be backstopped, which there's definite precedent, you know. That's the only thing I can think of. But at what point do the hedge funds start saying, all right, we're done here. We're done with this. Or they flip the script and say, well, maybe we're going to go on, take an aggressive stance, maybe short this stock. I mean, that seems that it would move things a lot quicker than a regulatory standpoint, et cetera.
If the hedge fund turn on this and hedge fund community smells blood, this unwinds faster. And I will say, because of my outspokenness on Twitter, a lot of old hedge fund colleagues are reaching out. So I smell a sentiment shift. You can see the stock price of Moderna and Pfizer starting to unravel. And this actuarial data only, I think, accelerated the hedge fund's willingness to maybe smell blood. So I think it's in motion, is what I'm saying. It's already begun. I think the faster these stocks start to implode, the quicker we save people's lives, actually, because it'll become a story that can't be contained in the mainstream media. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, if these things continue to spiral, or they go into a spiral, they're kind of a slow drip right now. Well, perhaps not a slow drip. 37% in a month isn't really a slow drip.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not a slow drip. But it's a slow enough drip where it's not garnering major headlines because people are like, well, it was up so much, so it's just correcting, you know, and they don't understand that, you know, it has to come back up to correct. If it keeps going down, it's not a correction, it's a collapse.
But, well, you also, you remember Enron. Enron's stock peaked out, and it was still started bleeding pretty profusely because the way Wall Street works is, you know, like, Chanos was on it, and he started calling all his buddies, presenting his short thesis to everyone. That's what's going on now. Hedge funds are catching on. They got their positions on, or the early ones do, and they're going to start picking up the phone, and they're going to start making the case to other friends, and other data points will come out. You know, the Q4 reports from insurance companies are, you know, in a couple weeks. And this thing, and there'll be a day where Pfizer goes down 12%, and then Cramer's talking about it. And, you know, there'll be one of those days because the Enron story, you know, took about a year to unfold. And I think hopefully we accelerate that process here. And you know, this becomes pretty apparent pretty quickly that something majorly wrong occurred in our institutions that are supposed to protect us, the FDA, CDC, and NIH. And, you know, look, this Fauci character, he's an interesting man. He screwed up the AIDS issue. I mean, he was ground zero in a lot of deaths during the AIDS debacle. And it seems like he's playing it out again. I don't know, you know, you could speculate he's involved in the deep state and CIA and whatever, but he seems to have an axe to grind that goes against all common sense and science. I mean, it's, at this point, it's laughable. He came out today and said, yesterday, everybody should get their booster, and we won't be out of this until everybody's vaccinated. He literally said that.
He keeps saying that. He's been saying that. It's like a broken record. He didn't, like... Maybe he doesn't understand, but I think he probably does, and many other folks do, but he's just playing a role and reading his script. The people that are dug in, and there's more people who have already been jabbed who are joining the ranks of the dug in, whatever you want to say, who won't get the boosters and who many people I know are sitting and they looking over their shoulder now. And anytime they get a fever or sniffles, they're like, is this it? Am I going down? I'm talking about people who are jabbed. And so
yeah,
they're not going to add to those, I don't think, a significant amount of people who just decide, oh, I think I've remained unjabbed for this long. I think I'll just go sign up and get three or four shots in a row now. So that's why they're going to go after the kids, the little kids. And these parents... And they're going to line these kids up again. I can't, can't make it up.
Oh no, it's unreal. A friend of mine who used to be a healthcare analyst on Wall Street he's now CFO at a biotech company. And, he was the one that made me aware of the fact that the all-cause mortality endpoint had been failed by Pfizer, and that kind of leaked out without any fanfare in September, October timeframe of last year. And as soon as he told me that, I said, whoa, don't you usually not get drug approvals? He said, yes, that's usually the gold standard. I said, why isn't this being talked about? He's like, I don't know. But he did say people who did get jabbed, once they saw that in his community, the biotech community, once they saw that endpoint, they're not getting the booster and they're pissed they took it. And the point being, insiders in the biotech industry are now not getting boosters because if they weren't vaxxed, they're not getting the vax. If they were already vaccinated, they're definitely not getting the booster. So, you know, if insiders in the biotech industry won't take the jab, I think people need to know that because if you're like one of those brainwashed people and you know that insiders who were brainwashed with you are no longer brainwashed, that's powerful information. And, I'm all about converting the marginal mind and helping people to understand, look, it's okay that you were fooled. I don't think you're stupid. I just think that you had a little too much trust and you didn't have enough information. But now that you know, don't get boosted because it's dose dependent is what we're finding out. So the message is insiders are not getting boosted. And people need to know that. Need to understand that's because the all-cause mortality endpoint was not made known when they made their press release in November of 2020 after Trump was elected, to screw Trump, obviously.
Well.
Or not elected, lost.
It's worse. Yeah, it's worse than that because the folks we know inside the FDA, they're not getting boosted, and they didn't get the first jabs either. So what does that tell you?
that's a huge. Wasn't it the director of the CDC in front of Congress was asked point blank what percent of her staff is vaccinated, and she wouldn't reveal the number.
I'll get back to you on that. I'm not sure. Yeah, you know damn well who's vaccinated and who's not. You just don't want to say it on the Hill because it would be a scandal.
Yeah. And look, you know, you and I have been around fraud throughout our careers, or at least witnessing it, and either selling the stock to get out of the way, or you know, telling other people to short it. But you know, I watch what people do now. What they say when the FDA said they wanted to hide the clinical trial data from Pfizer for 75 years. That's all you needed to know that fraud had occurred. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. That's evidence on its face of fraud to hide data from the public. That's all you need to know. Fraud has occurred.
That's like the dog whistle right there.
That's the dog whistle. Yeah. That's all I need to know that fraud has occurred. And I'm just waiting for cleanup on aisle 9 from a journalist to figure this out and start writing about it. You know, because by the time the New York Times writes an article on this, Pfizer's stock will be, $9. I mean, that's how that works.
Let's talk about this. BioNTech, $147, down 45% in a month. We talked about the other two stocks. We talked about Pfizer. We talked about Moderna. Is it time to short these things if you are so-called shark and you want to make a couple extra bucks? I mean, it's not time to invest in them, I'll tell you that.
No, I mean, obviously, shorting is difficult, and you know there'll be counter trend rallies. So, like, I can't, you know, I don't want to tell people to do it today. But I will say the one that's gone down the least is Pfizer because it has other businesses.
It has many other things.
Yeah,
patents, etc.
But I will say that if you want to bet on how bad it gets in terms of public opinion and lawsuits, Pfizer's liability could be huge, and that could be the stock from here to look at. I think you could still short Moderna on any kind of counter trend rally up. You know, you could short it. And, you know, if you're going to short it, there's a number of ways to short it. You can go short the shares, as you know. But, I mean, you know, that's risky because, you know, the upside is unlimited. The downside is only 100%. Or you can buy long dated leaps out of the money leaps and put a small amount of capital. And if you're right and Moderna goes to zero from 100 and whatever it is today, and you buy a 2-year leap and you buy like a $30 strike price and it goes to zero, you know, that's a ton of money. And your loss is defined. You know, you don't put your whole portfolio in it. You put a small amount of capital in some leaps and then you just, close your eyes, and if it doesn't pay off, you're okay because, you know, it is what it is. But that's how I'd play it. I'd play it through long-term leaps with a small amount of capital. I wouldn't – shorting shares is difficult, and professionals usually are good at that, and you can manage around, and they have a portfolio of other shorts to offset. So if you're an individual investor, look at some long-term leaps, small amount of capital. But, you know, again, you know, do your own work. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not telling you what to do. But,
yeah, I'm just saying the opportunity is there for folks to look at, and certainly do not jump in and think that I don't think these things are going to rebound 45%, and I think they're on the downswing. And like you said, and like we've talked about, this is just, we're out in front of this. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the pack has not gotten a whiff of this yet, and when they do, that's when things are going to get interesting.
Right. When the pack gets a whiff, that's when Moderna starts going down 20% in a day, that kind of thing. Right now it's bleeding. I call it, we have a bleeder. Houston, we have a bleeder. Pfizer did, let me look at the Pfizer chart right now. I want to check something out because it did bounce after the actuarial news. So let me go to Pfizer. So after the actuarial numbers, it went down. It had two nice red bars on January 3rd and 4th. Had a little counter trend rally. Got as low as on the actuarial data. Got as low as 53.94. Rallied back up to 57.43, and now it's at 52.72. So it's taken out the actuarial knees low after the counter trend rally. And this chart's looking like it's just starting. There might be some kind of trend rallies along the way, but I think Pfizer is in the beginning of its downtrend. Moderna and BioNTech leading the way. So Pfizer, you know, in October was a $40 stock. It's $52.73 right now. So now. If it goes to a new high, I will warn people, anytime the stock goes to a new all-time high, you cover your short, you don't ask any questions, and you move on. The market's decided you're wrong for the time being. But unless it goes to a new high, this thing looks like it's good to go on the downside.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interest. 2022 is going to be interesting. You know, the regulatory folks, the criminals like Fauci, and those guys are in one category. They can control the media. They can control a lot of the narrative. But I'm always interested in the money. You smell blood, and these folks smell blood in the water, and this thing will come unraveled a lot faster from the financial side. And that'll drive, of course, the regulatory side. They won't be able to hide. They won't be able to hide. So I'm rooting for complete collapse.
Well, I am too. And hedge fund managers get a bad rap a lot of times, you know, for being evil. Well, if they wanted to get some good press, exposing this fraud would go a long way to making hedge fund managers heroes again. A lot of them are demonized. Some are bad eggs, some are good eggs. But the industry as a whole has kind of been demonized. If you guys who are listening want an opportunity to become heroes again, look at these three stocks. The faster you can get more information into the marketplace and tumble these stocks, the faster this ends. And it'll be a good thing for everybody, I think, and you can make some money. So it's kind of my 2 cents on hedge funds have an opportunity to get some good press.
I'm with you, man. All it takes is one dude or one dudette in front of the mic from a position like that, and it can really start the ball rolling even faster downhill. We'll have you back on here. I wanted to ask you one more thing because I don't want to keep you from the sunshine out there.
Well, yeah. You know what's beautiful about living out here is I get up at around 3:30 in the morning. My day is usually done around 10 or 11, and then I go hiking or beaching. It's not a bad life. I just don't get a lot of sleep during the week.
Well, that comes with the stock picking business.
Yeah, bro. Doesn't matter where you're at. Has a price. Paradise has a price. It's called lack of sleep.
Yeah, that's what it is. One last thing I want to throw at you. The Fed says, hey, maybe we'll start issuing digital currency. I think they're using maybe a little loose. I think they're planning on, the Federal Reserve plans on putting out a digital dollar. Your thoughts?
Well, my overarching thesis from a global macro standpoint is that we've reached kind of the pinnacle of the global debt envelope pushing. And they know that there's going to be some sort of financial reset. And this is one of their tools to manage it and to extract taxes from every human being on the planet for like just about everything. And, you know, that's going to be, from a macro standpoint, the end of a lot of our freedoms once that happens. But I will say, there seems to be a move in Congress to stop that, and they've come out saying they won't do anything unless Congress approves anything. So, you know, eventually happens, I think, but it's going to happen slower than people think. I also think, you know, I miss the Bitcoin move. I never got involved in Bitcoin. A lot of people think Bitcoin is the savior and is an anti-Fed trade. I know enough about financial assets to know that Bitcoin has also benefited from Fed liquidity. And if the Fed is in a tightening phase, which it is, Bitcoin will get smashed as well. It's not going to go away. But if you think Bitcoin's a counter trend trade to, Fed tightening, I got another thing coming. All assets go down in panic. And I think we're going to have a panic sometime this year or next, where everything goes down because, you know, it's all, everything's cross collateralized and hypothecated, and it's going to just be a bank run on everything.
Seems to be headed that way when you look at some of the early barometers of what's happening. And it seems like some dudes who are regularly pretty calm and collected are starting to get a little fidgety. Different. I know my guys at Citigroup, well, they're fidgety for two reasons. They face the axe over this mandate, although they've been given a temporary stay as the company tries to figure out which way it's going to go now that the Supreme Court didn't back their play. And I think that the lawyers at Citi are saying, you're playing with fire here, so maybe you should just walk away and back off. But for some reason, the management is not listening to their general counsel and their outside counsel. And it wouldn't be the first time that they fucked up. So they're nervous there. And then some of the Wall Street guys are just nervous in general about 2022. And these guys are usually... if they are nervous, they don't show it. So it's very interesting to watch.
Well, I think the markets are in a precarious position from basically Fed liquidity withdrawal. And if this Pfizer fraud and vaccine fraud comes to life, there'll be a loss of trust in institutions. And, you know, last year we discounted a recovery based on vaccines. If that goes the way of the dodo bird, which it will, the markets are not going to be too happy about that. And I do think it's conspiring to make a very difficult index year for the S&P 500. I mean, I think it's going to give back a lot of the gains from last year personally. We'll see if that plays out, but my suspicion is it will.
Well, we'll have you back on, brother. It's been a pleasure. Edward Dowd, the man, living it up in the sunshine.
Well,
out there.
Well, thank you, and keep up the good fight. I mean, you know, you and I, we're just two guys that, like, when we see bullshit, we call it out. And, you know, we, unfortunately, because of the way you and I think, we see the bullshit earlier than most, and we're given a hard time for it. But I'd rather be that than the guy reading it in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times after I've taking, you know, multiple boosters and or own Pfizer and Moderna down to zero. I don't like to be that guy.
Exactly. And one final point. I've been trying to teach people that when you see these things like this, or you recognize these things, that brings a basket of opportunity for you to potentially capitalize on it while other people call you names or whatever. You can sit there and figure out how to turn this into something to put into your bank account. It's simple as that. You have to start thinking about that. You know, if you are out front, why to the victor goes the spoils. You have to figure out how to put some money in your pocket, back your play, right? It's one thing to be right, but it's even better to profit from it.
Well, and to the point you and I made earlier, this isn't only about money. This is about saving, you know, people's lives. And I've never seen fraud occur where, other than money was lost, this is the most egregious malfeasance I've ever seen, because it's causing huge untold human misery and death, and it pisses me off, quite frankly. So I'm hopeful that your the discussion we had today, you know, is listened to by people that can make a difference in the capital markets and do the right thing and do their own work and realize that the unraveling, I think, has already begun. And I know you think that as well. So, you know, hopefully we can get more people on our side. And if they want to profit from it, you know, more power to them, but they're also doing the right thing.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks for everything, man. And enjoy the enjoy the life out there.
All right. Take care. And I'll talk to you soon.
See you. Take care.
Cross your path.